Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 68, Andy Du. Andy is a young guy who has definitely taken life by the horns. In this segment, we're going to talk about how he ended up not in the U.S. at such a young age, where he went to school, what led him to that decision, and what, you know, I guess as I sit and think about it, I can see so many of this generation that he's in really thinking through life so much earlier than those of us who are older. I can see it, and I understand it. It is a different life today than what it was when we were younger, and I don't mean that's a bad thing. I think figuring it out is the hard part, and it really seems like Andy has figured it out. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Man, and tonight's guest, we are on opposite ends of the world. Literally, we're 12 hours apart. It is evening where I am. It is morning where he is, and I just can't wait to hear this story because I know it's a great story, and I know it's kind of that fantasy that I think a lot of people have. And what to me is the coolest part is this is a young man. This is not some old dude saying, hey, I'm going somewhere. He's done it at young age, and I really can't wait to hear that. Welcome, Andy Du. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you.
Man, I'm excited to have you. I've been watching, you know, some content that you have out there, and I'm like, man, this guy has it figured out. But you're an Ohio boy. I mean, you're not supposed to be in Thailand right now. I mean, you're supposed to be in Ohio, and it's snowing like a bear, and you should be shoveling something. I mean, you shouldn't be sitting on a beach or getting ready to go. You know, what's the weather where you're at right now?
The weather, usually in the daytime, this time of year, it's around mid to high 70s.
It's going to be like negative 12 this weekend, man. Yeah, that's not right. That's not nice.
I've been hearing from some friends in Columbus, Ohio, what the weather's been like.
Well, tell us how you got from Columbus, or what happened in Columbus. You know, obviously you went to college in some ways, you know, OSU. So what were you interested in studying at that?
At the time, I was majoring in sociology, and I just found myself pretty interested in just kind of the big picture aspect of what that major offers. And, you know, Columbus, Ohio, that's where I grew up. You know, really enjoyed living in the city. Went to Ohio State, had a good time there. But eventually, when things kind of started taking off with my business, I, you know, almost became addicted to traveling and really started to see other parts of the world. And one of the countries that I visited was Thailand. And after traveling Thailand for a month, just totally fell in love with the city that I'm in now, which is Chiang Mai. So this is my home base. I've lived here for a year now.
I think that my older son and his wife, they went on their honeymoon, and that's where they went. And they did something with elephants, and they just loved it. I mean, they just absolutely loved it. Life-changing. But you didn't go right from Columbus to Thailand, right? There's a story there somewhere. How did you get into to a business? I mean, were you – because you were going to be – what does a sociologist do, right? I mean, you were going
to practice
sociology. How does that happen? Were your parents entrepreneurs in any way?
So my grandpa co-founded a company that my dad is now president of, and so – I grew up watching him, you know, wake up at 5:30 in the morning every single day, never taking sick days, just always. He's a very strong work ethic. And I think that combined with just having a little bit of a different take on business led me to always be testing out new things, always trying out different creative ways of making money. It started off really just – I was while I was at Ohio State, I read this ebook about selling books on Amazon.com, and I was really intrigued by it, and eventually just, you know, kind of applied those principles to selling other physical products, because at the time I didn't even know Amazon was a legitimate platform because I had had some experience with eBay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, I was working as a cashier at Best Buy while also attending Ohio State. And so they had this sale on video games. It was like buy two, get one free, something along those lines. And while I was reading this book, I just kind of applied those principles to Amazon and found that I could actually make a pretty decent amount of money per game that I was selling. So it really just started off as a hobby, like a lot of other things that I had done. But, you know, one thing led to another.
Did you try to sell your textbooks and stuff like that?
Yeah, I actually one of the first things that I did was I made a Craigslist ad and would ask people to send me the, you know, the little serial number of the ESIN number of the book. Then I would look it up on Amazon and I'd offer to pay them. You know, I drove like 45 minutes away and bought these like five textbooks off this lady from Craigslist. And because I knew I could make money from them. And I think within 2 weeks I had more than doubled my what I paid to get those. I think I paid like 40 or 50 bucks and I made like well over $100.
And back then there was an FBA, right? You were merchant fulfilling back then, right?
Yeah, that was just merchant fulfilled at the time.
Right. So you got a bug, though. Did that change? Well, you know, I mean, I'm interested in the sociology aspect because that's a study of people, right?
Yeah.
In society, right? So, you know, you obviously had a calling for that. Did you have a desire to travel at that point, too, and see the world because you're into people or –
Yeah, I did. I really wanted to start traveling because I would, you know, I'd be sitting in the classroom and we'd be talking about some really great things, but a part of me just wanted to connect the ideas and the just kind of the talk of what was going on with an actual experience, an actual, you know, hands-on with other cultures that I'd be talking about in the classroom or watching, you know, a film on. So there, the desire to travel was definitely there.
You know, it's just interesting thinking about your father going to work probably with his father, right, way back in the day, and just, you know, grinding it out because that was expected of him. Was it expected of you? Did they think you were going to get this degree and then come back and work in the family business?
Well, a lot of my friends had asked me that as well. My parents were actually – they've always been very supportive of – who I am. And it's funny because if you look at me next to my siblings or just like with my family, I stand out quite a bit. I have long hair, I have visible tattoos and facial piercings. And so very different expression. and actually both my older brothers work for the same company that you know, my dad works for. But they never – I was never pressured and, you know, my parents never hinted, hey, you should go work for your dad or anything like that. They were very encouraging of graduating Ohio State, but I actually did not graduate because my business was taking off right as I was headed towards, you know, my final few semesters. But mm-hmm. That was a tough decision, but – one that I had to make because some serious doors are opening for me.
You know, it's interesting. My bet is now, because you've had so much success, you know, is they could see, you know, it's tougher as a dad. I've got a son about your age, a little bit. He's actually a little bit older than you. And I think about, you know, where he is versus, you know, how he got there. And I think, you know, there are people leaping ahead today. It's not the same. And I think your father's generation, which I would be part of, is recognizing that, where his father, no chance. There was no way. I mean, he would have been like, oh, my God, you got to go and you got to do this. But now it's different. And I think we're all starting to see that, you know, there are many ways to get to where you need to be. It doesn't have to be that formal education. Life application is probably more important.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm really interested to hear about your first trip. So what I'm going to do is take us to break. When we come back, I want to hear about the first time you traveled and were you able to use some of your e-commerce money to help make that trip. We'll be right back. All right. right, it's early in 2016. You just came off a slamming fourth quarter 2015. You're sitting on a boatload of cash and you're thinking, I want to do something for my business. I want to grow. Start looking at end foundation. Look at them as building blocks. Build, build, build. Change your categories. Think about gated categories specifically, shoes and clothing. YourSourcedInventory.com, that's what they focus on. You'll get a list every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, and they're going to give you leads for about 10 items that are in the shoes and clothing, and even dipping into the sports and outdoor category, which is great. These are all gated categories. Listen to some of these ranks. In October, the average shoe rank was $7,571 for $29 profit, a return of investment of 88%. December, 11,000 ranking, profit of $32, 83% ROI. Think about that. Profit of $32. What's your average selling price? Imagine what your average selling price would jump to. In clothing, ranking in October, $6,800, profit of $1,488. But listen to this, ROI of 109%. What could you do to get that 109% return? You got to join YourSourcedInventory.com. We use it as foundational in our business. We think you should too. YourSourcedInventory.com. So this segment, we spend a lot of time talking about his travels, and when he figured out what there was a moment, and he talks about that. But this is similar to another interview I did with Chris Wilkie, where he wanted to earn enough income so he could take his dream job. In this case, Andy's earning enough so he can dream, he can live where he wants to live. Wait till you hear the countries this kid is. He's 26 years old. But what I love about it is that he still knows that he has to, you know, get up in the morning, do his lessons that he does on Periscope. But what's cool is that then he says, you know, I got to get my three things accomplished today. So I got to write down my goals and get them done. That's what focus. So, you know, as a parent, as a father, I would be very proud to recognize that my son has figured it out. You know, he might not have started the most direct way, but he figured it out. And I think in that generation, if you have a kid who is kind of a free spirit, who you think might get lost along the way, this is a great avenue to take that talent, that energy, and give them some focus. And in this case, it worked. This kid's knocking it out of the park. He's just doing great things. And oh, by the way, he's in Asia, and he's been there for a while. After he was in Japan, after he was in the Netherlands, after he was in Italy, after he was in Greece, after he was in Spain. So just imagine that, you know, just a great, great story. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Andy Dew, and Andy is a world traveler. And as we interview right here, he is, I don't know how many thousands of miles it would be. It's a long way, man. It's 12 hours different. So, you know, it's morning there, it's night here. And he is really – you have figured out a lifestyle. You figured out a business that fits your lifestyle. I just interviewed Jason T. Smith, right, from Thrift Hunters fame. Uh-huh. And he is a lifestyle. I mean, if you met Jason, he is a lifestyle. He is that – he's big, bold, and he apologizes to no one. And he designed his business – around his lifestyle. It sounds to me like you've been able to do the same thing, because you could go all in and you could crush it and crush it and crush it, but that doesn't sound to me that that's what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I was first getting really serious about FBA, I kind of almost ran the numbers and said, okay, if I put in 40 to 50 hours a week, I could easily be making, you know, at least $120,000 a year. And this was right after I had decided to not finish Ohio State and do this full time. But around the same time, I was starting to realize the scalability that selling on Amazon offers. And I really wanted to travel. And so I kind of looked at it and said, well, I can actually get this down to 20 to 15 hours a week, and even got it down to a point where so much of it was outsourced that I was able to travel and run the business while traveling. And
literally from hotel rooms and places like that?
Yep.
That's awesome.
And actually, when I eventually launched my course, I was in a hotel in San Francisco, you know, crossing my fingers, hoping for a sale. I didn't get a sale the first night I opened because I had no idea how to do anything like a product launch or a course launch or anything like that. But yeah, I was able to eventually run my business from any country that I was in.
So what was the first country you went to?
First country I went to was Greece.
Mm.
Went to Greece and then Italy. And that was a awesome time. I still have a pair of shoes that I got in Mykonos, Greece.
How old are you at the time?
Quite well. I was 21.
Oh, God, that's just wrong. 21, probably not much of a care in the world because you actually have a business, right? So you have maybe it's a modest income to start or what have you, but it was more than enough to cover you, correct?
Yeah, and it's funny because all my money basically went to traveling, and being 21, that was a pretty interesting and exciting learning experience of how to learn with or how to deal with a fluctuating income that changes every month, and just knowing, oh, okay, you know, I got to make sure I stay on top of it this month, so next month isn't, you know, as stressful if I'm traveling. Because if I was settling down in one place for a little while, it was easy to get in the rhythm of things and keep everything running smoothly. But if I was on the move a lot, I had to really be more intentional about that.
Now, were you selling at that point physical products through FBA?
Yes, that's I had started doing FBA by the time things had scaled up and gotten automated at that point.
Right, and that's when you started traveling. So where were you buying your merchandise back then? Because I mean, I just think of, you know, it's so sophisticated now. Everything's online, right? But
yeah.
We're still talking 6 years ago, right? 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago. And so FBA, and I came on in 2011, so it really wasn't around very much. I mean, it was there, but that doesn't mean that Walmart.com was really cranking or – you know, Kohl's.com, right, or those. Where were you buying?
Yeah, it was a lot of retail stores. And actually, that was right when I was transitioning to sourcing online. And
okay,
this was, you know, probably around the time that sourcing online became more of a viable option. But before that, I would take my car to a place like Big Lots and just load it up and drop all the inventory off.
And then you've had enough inventory and then you could travel, right? So you kind of had a pipeline filled. But, you know, it's interesting that you're saying this because you would have been at the beginning of true online arbitrage. And so it was probably easy pickings, right? Whenever
it was, yeah. Actually,
yeah. Compared to now, there weren't scrapers and things like that. There are now, right?
Right. That's right. It's funny. I would daydream about softwares that would help me source online.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Green is happy that you didn't figure that out, right? Because he seems to master it. But it's interesting that you know you were in that open space back then, and really were able to take advantage of it. So where was the stuff getting shipped from that you would buy online? Where would they? Would you have them? You couldn't have them ship it direct to Amazon. Who processed for you?
I actually had a friend process it for me, and
oh, that's
she
cool.
Yeah, she actually ended up becoming faster and more efficient than me at it. And I realized it one time because we both decided to do the boxing and shipping up together because I had a spare bedroom in my apartment specifically for Amazon. So we could put a lot of inventory in there. So like before heading to Europe, you know, that room was pretty packed with inventory. Hmm. But it would get shipped there and she would box it up and ship it out into Amazon. And I just
so she was your prep service. I mean, she was, you know, everybody has a prep service now. Yeah. She was the initial one.
Yeah, she was my original prep service.
And did you pay her?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was cool.
Yeah, started off at like maybe $9 an hour, and I think ended at like $12 or $13 an hour just because she became so efficient.
That's really awesome, though. I mean, and thinking about that, I mean, we take it for granted today, but to think about that about 5 years ago, nobody was doing that. I have a friend locally who was using somebody's house in the Midwest to do their prep and ship. This was before all the prep and ship companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, wow, a house, never thought about that. But now, you know, makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, a lot
yeah.
It's easy in, easy out. I mean, you really can see a lot of, you really were at the cutting edge. So here you are in Greece, living pretty good, right? Climate's pretty good. Italy, climate's pretty good, generally. How focused were you on your business, or how did you get – because it kind of what you described is when you settle in. I could see that being a challenge, being distracted, just because life happens, right?
Yeah.
How did you maintain that?
Well, a lot of – like in Greece was actually the first time I kind of – I mean, even though it was like my first – I'd been out of the country a couple times before that, but this was really truly on my own where I'm – you know, I have my business at this point, and I realized this doesn't have to be travel. Doesn't have to be, you know, a certain percentage of vacation. It can be whatever you want it to be. And so I would go to a coffee shop and source products online. And you know, then by the time I was in Italy, some of those products had already been prepped by my friend and sent into Amazon. So it was really just about being disciplined and setting aside some time to get the main things done that make me money. And eventually, probably a year later, I spent about 4 months and lived in the Netherlands. And that was, I was able to actually set up some more stuff with my business while settled in there. And so, and again, I spent like 3 weeks in Barcelona previous to that. In those short stretches of time, you know, even just 2 weeks in one place can give you a lot of time to just kind of like settle in, maybe get in like to a routine in the city that you're in and get in a good rhythm for work.
Yeah, I would imagine that you had a lot of creative time, right? I mean, a lot of that time to just sit around and think, right? And then so then you would just buckle down and do the work. Now, had you created a course at that point, or are you still not?
So after going to Greece and Italy, the next place I went was Japan, because my best friend's band at the time was starting to really get a lot more opportunities and were actually playing at Fuji Rock Festival in Japan. And so I was like, dude, I'm going to come see you play in Japan.
Of course you're going to go. You have to.
Spent like a couple weeks in Tokyo and then took a bullet train to the Fuji Mountains and saw him play, which was an incredible experience. It was actually really life-changing to be able to go do that. And while I was there on the way home on the bullet train, I just had all this creative inspiration, and I mapped out the entire course on my notes app on my iPhone.
So wait, I want to understand that. So what was life-changing? What was what, you know, hey, first off, you're a 22-year-old kid, right, at that point, right? 22, 20, maybe 23. What was life changing about it? What opened your eyes? What did you see?
Well, what was really cool to see is my best friend living his dream, because you know, just a year before that, I was you know, recording video for him playing drums to try out for, you know, a local band, and I knew he was an amazing drummer and that was his, you know, calling, and I think he kind of saw something similar with me. And then to be in Japan, you know, I was able to just fly there, spend some time in Tokyo, hang out with him. It felt like a culmination of both of us living our dream. Mm. And then, you know, he went on to go tour elsewhere, and I went back to go travel to the next place. And it kind of felt like, man, that's really cool. We're both doing what we truly love. And
yeah, you almost had a rhythm, it sounds like to me. Yeah. As I'm sitting here listening to this, I can kind of see that you – so you're not intimidated going to Barcelona. That's an adventure for you.
Yeah.
You're not intimidated going to any of these places, right? I mean, this is just, hey, it's another place. And I guess, you know, back to the sociology, right? I mean, that's what was attracted to you, and it sounds like it's kind of leading you around.
Yeah, it was – a place like Barcelona was a blast, because that actually I ended up becoming really great friends with some people who I ended up living in their city in the Netherlands. That's what brought me there. So, and it's always fun explaining to people what I do. Like when I travel and they ask what I do for work, it's always a very good conversation piece.
Yeah, well, everybody, their jaw has to drop and say, first off, I don't believe you, right? Are you, you have a silver spoon somewhere, right? They don't believe you because most people don't believe it's possible to buy things and resell them for a higher profit, right? They don't believe that that's the way the world works. And quite frankly, that is the way the world works, right? Somebody is buying it cheaper to sell it at a profit. That's how, you know, business works. But more importantly, that you can do it from anywhere you want. You get to choose. You know, not many people. I mean, do you meet a lot of people that are, traveling, doing things, writing maybe, or, you know, musicians or whatever? Do you meet a lot of people like that out there on the road?
Well, so traveling around, much less. But now being based in Chiang Mai, I do come across, digital nomads. But even a lot of times here in Chiang Mai, people will settle in because it's a very low cost of living here. So people will settle in and it's a lot of people with startups, not necessarily with fully established businesses.
Are they mostly from the US or are they from Europe or could it be anywhere anymore?
It seems to be quite a melting pot in Chiang Mai. But I would say on the road, I don't come across as many people that are fully self-employed. I meet a lot of people that do freelance work or they're kind of like contracted out by they're location independent, but it's still, they've got their assignments and their tasks that they have to do.
Yeah, and I would say that, there is a transition, right? So there is a transition from an employee to that contractor style, and I think it's accelerated over in Europe. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it is. And I see a lot of it, or I read a lot about it, and I could see that. I can see that you're running into that type. So now you, how did you end up in Thailand? You didn't go right from the Netherlands, did you?
So in between Japan and like Barcelona and the Netherlands, I traveled Thailand for a month and really, really loved the entire month I was in Thailand. And when I was in Chiang Mai, I spent just shy of 2 weeks here. And that's actually when I started writing my book, The Art of Traveling for Free. And it just stuck with me. Chiang Mai, I would daydream even a few months after of living in Chiang Mai. It just felt like a city that's conducive to, the direction I was headed and where I was at in my life. And so even after spending so much time in Europe, which was a lot of fun, it was a great experience. But, I had made up my mind that Chiang Mai was where I was going to end up.
Well, what specifically draws you there versus Europe? Because you have a pretty good frame of reference now, right? You've been in the U.S. lots of places, right? So you have a good, good perspective. You've been in Europe many different places, so that gives you good perspective. What's so attractive about Asia versus these other communities? I know cost is a huge deal, right? I mean, it's cheap, right?
Yeah.
Because Europe's not cheap, right?
Right. What's funny and aggravating is the majority of the time I spent in Europe was when the dollar was at its weakest and the euro was at its strongest in a while. And now it's
even always the way it is.
Of course. Life is just in a lot of ways easy here, which I know for some people could sound bad. But for me, I tend to, some of my main inspiration came while I was seeing my best friend play music in Japan and, making money while in Greece. So when things are, for some reason, great experiences like that really inspire me. And I feel like those kinds of experiences are easier to have happen in Chiang Mai. Life just tends to be a little bit it's a little bit of a slower pace of life. There's a lot of – I get a lot of time here for, that big picture kind of thinking, create a lot of creative time. And so I feel like that's probably one of the biggest draws of why I'm here.
Are you an artist or musician in any way too?
I'm a writer, but not musically inclined.
Okay. I didn't know if there was sometimes that creative side. So you're creative in the writing side, right? And so,
yeah.
So this book that you have where you talk about traveling for free, it is related to you finding a business. In your case, you had a business that allowed you to travel for free because you were location completely independent, right?
Yep. And
but there are other ways, aren't there?
Yeah. What was really nice about that is so before I even sold on Amazon, I was really intrigued by credit card reward points because it was funny. The whole reason I got a credit card in the first place was I wanted to get an iPhone and I was 18 and you needed some kind of a credit history and I had none. So I got myself a credit card. They gave me, you know, a small limit. A year later, I get another credit card. This limit's bigger, and I notice all these reward points in my account. I was like, well, they're just giving me all these points for free. Like, I'm just using my card and paying it off, and now I have all these points. And the reward points, I will say the programs were more generous back then, but that got me reading sites like Flyer Talk, and I started learning about what you could do with these reward points. And so I started signing up for offers and I would have like the craziest ways of meeting the minimum spends because, you know, they send you an offer. You can have 50,000 reward points if you spend $2,000 within 2 months of opening the card.
$2,000, that's easy.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm working part-time at Best Buy and going to Ohio State at the time. How do I meet that spend? So I had all kinds of crazy ideas and ways to do that. But when I started selling on Amazon, those minimum spends were so easy to meet because I would just spend $2,000 on inventory, you know, no problem. And not only that, even after I met the minimum spend and got the bonus points, I'm racking up more points because I'm buying my inventory on those credit cards.
And so you kind of created I don't want to call it a flipping, but you're flipping one to the next, right? Because some of them even pay you points when you pay it.
Yeah.
So that allowed you – so you wrote the book. And where were you when you wrote the book?
I was in Thailand when I wrote the majority of it.
Okay.
But
mentally you had already started it.
Yeah, I started it. It's something that I started a really long time ago and then – you know, I never really got around to finishing it. All my time was just kind of focused on FBA, but it was something that I was passionate about. So I eventually finished that. But I'm actually in the process of updating that book. So I'll probably come out with a new edition here in the next month or so.
Okay, so you end up moving to Thailand to go to where you felt like that was the best fit for you. In the meantime, you still have your Amazon business, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did you start your course?
So the course that started, let's see. The course started actually quite a while ago. It was just very slow to be exposed. So let's see, was that 2012? No, it couldn't have been that long ago. I need to get better with these dates. Let's see, the course probably came out 3 years ago now.
Okay, so that would be just barely 2013.
Yeah.
And when you launched the course, where were you?
I was in San Francisco when.
So you ended back in the U.S. I mean,
yeah.
It's just interesting to me. And you have been everywhere.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when I look back at the last 3 years of my life, I'm really ready to. Now that I'm in Chiang Mai. I am ready to plant here for a little while because I was just, you know, I was just back in the U.S. Visiting my family just like four or five months ago. But yeah, so I was in San Francisco in a hotel room when Doable launched. And it's funny to even say launched because I had no idea what I was doing. A friend of mine built the website for me. I had no experience whatsoever with selling any kind of a digital product or an online course. So really when I say launch, it means I posted about it on my Facebook
and I want you to tell why you decided to launch a course. Cause I think that's an interesting story. I read that and I was like, that's really cool. I interviewed Dan Miller. I don't know if you know who Dan Miller is.
Yeah.
He's the Dave Ramsey, you know, 48 Days of the Work You Love guy, right? He's written three New York Times bestseller books. And his theory is this, is when three people ask him for something about the same thing, he's like, there's a business. You know, that's his mental thing. When three people ask him for the same thing, there's a business. And that's how he gets. How did it come about for you?
Yeah, well, I had like 30 people asking me.
So, you know, here's a hint next time. When three people ask you, do it then. Don't wait so long.
Right. You know, it was like I basically had to do it because I was getting – well, first the lesson that I learned from this whole experience was how to say no to people because, you know, as people would see me travel, you know, clearly I wasn't – working for anybody. I wasn't in school any longer. And when I was traveling, people would be like, what are you doing? They'd be very interested in how I was making money. And I didn't really have much to offer unless I was willing to have a conversation with them. And sometimes it was just be like meeting up for coffee when I'm in town, being on the phone. And that just is not a sustainable way to communicate or teach others what I was doing. So
you can't get in any depth in the conversations, right? You can't just – because they're like, oh, you just buy something and you sell. Well, no, it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
very hard to explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is hard to explain. And that really – you know, I'm not – I had to really – it stretched me when it comes to how to articulate things that maybe are normal and routine for me but sound like a foreign language for someone else. So that was a fun exercise. But, you know, yeah, eventually it got to the point where I wasn't able to just talk for hours to anybody who was interested. So, and not only that, when I looked at what courses were out there and what I saw, the information that I saw out there about selling on Amazon did not include what I felt was a really important and valuable part of or what could be a very important and valuable part to anyone's FBA business, which is the automation aspect of it, of moving to online sourcing, getting the boxing and shipping outsourced, even if it's just a friend, and using virtual assistants to outsource the online sourcing part of things.
Well, and you know, I guess I'm sitting here thinking about you solved a problem because you had all those problems that you had to figure out. So you solved those problems, and so you're like, everybody else is going to have this same problem. You recognize it, and you're like, hey, I could help you figure that out. You know, I'm sitting here looking at the course, and your theory is to work from anywhere, and I guess you can say that now that, you know, you're sitting in Thailand, so I guess that's true, right? So I guess we could stand by that statement. It says that you teach how to find retail items to buy and sell.
Yep.
But here's where it gets interesting. There are a couple things that you do different than most of the other ones. Again, you talk about automating everything. You're not looking for people. It looks to me like you're not teaching a course on how to create a business to work out of your garage. You're teaching a business to work out of a hotel while you're in another place, right? I mean, that's the premise that you're coming at it from.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a different approach. And actually, I get asked the question a lot of times, you know, how much money am I going to make with this? How many hours do I have to put into it? Like, can I, you know, do I have to go run to the store and load up my truck or whatever? And I say, you know, first off, I don't give people or promise them a dollar amount that they're going to make per month. I don't try to dictate how many hours they're going to work a week. And I don't teach, you know, running around the city, which you can, that's fine. I'm sure that's profitable. I used to do that, but I'm pretty upfront about teaching a model that I feel is really values freedom of time. So it's gonna cut down on hours you have to input. It's gonna free up what's most valuable, which is your time, and that frees you up to scale your business up larger and even pursue other streams of income.
And it's interesting to me too is that you have a couple different levels as I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing that you have a premium member, or you could subscribe for product finds. I didn't understand what that is. So you actually have a list where you can help people figure out what to buy?
Yeah, actually, the product finds right now I've put on hold, but just to limit the amount of people that are, you know,
okay, so but they're getting it, so they are you close the list The list is the people who are getting it. You're not adding more people to it. Do you think you'll offer another one? Was that was that valuable for them?
Yeah, that's been really – that's actually – that's something I debated on for a while is do I do these product finds? And what ended up working out really well was when somebody would buy membership to my course, I would give them 2 months of product finds for free. And I, you know, would talk about in the videos, hey, look, these – you know, product finds are to complement your own sourcing. And so as you're out there, you know, following the step-by-step instructions, finding your own inventory, here's a couple, you know, here's like five or six more, a handful of products that you can check out that I've found. And, you know, would always tell people, look, other people are seeing this list. It is limited, but, you know, let this complement your own sourcing. And I even would teach people, you know, when – if you're finding if somebody else shows you a profitable item, you can actually gain valuable information from seeing that other than, you know, maybe I can buy this product.
Sell that particular product, right? It's going to give you a frame of reference, some perspective on, wow, you can sell motor oil on or whatever, you know? Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's great. So you really set them up for success. And so how many people have gone through the course?
Actually, I can – look that
you
up.
You don't have to give me an exact number. I mean, it's just – I'm just interested to –
we've got – I would say – well, we've got free membership and premium membership.
Okay.
And there's been over 400 people have gone through premium membership and over 4,000 people have gone into free membership.
Okay. So you've really expanded out. You really have grown quite a business. I'm going to have a link to it because I think, again, you know – this won't be a fit for everyone, you know, not some of us, you know, especially as older people who've been, you know, a little more reserved in our thinking. But I can see a generational change. And I think this is a freeing business because this kind of business that you could do from anywhere in the world would allow you to then go, if you were a painter, to be in Paris painting. Right, during the day and sourcing at night and doing that. And today it's even easier because of all the prep and ship companies, right? That's got to be one of the bigger challenges. But now I think I saw two opened up today, two new ones today. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I can name a dozen of them right now. Where 2 years ago I didn't know – there was one 2 years ago that I knew of.
Yeah, I feel like that just speaks to – how much things have changed in the last, you know, 5-6 years is before there, it didn't exist at all. It was only, you know, it was people that had started at the time, you know, like the Bullards, they were sellers themselves. Eventually, you know, made a service for it because there was so much demand for that part of the business to be outsourced.
And they're expanding now today. They announced that they're ready to actually even do storage for you, so you don't have to pay Amazon's long-term storage fees. They will store it for you and send it in over time. So there'll be kind of a true warehouse to manage your inventory and help you send it in. And in some cases, I can see that, you know, I mean, think about the overhead of having your own. You can't send it all to Amazon right now. You know, it's twice a year fees and all that jazz. So they just started offering that service. I saw it announced today, and I wish them well with that. So what do you think – I mean, how are your parents' reaction now? The fact that you've had so much success. I mean, have they come over to see you, by the way?
Not yet. I was just FaceTiming with my mom like last week, and I was like, when are you and Dad and Tanner coming out? Because I have two older brothers and one younger brother, and my younger brother is 17 – you know, still living at home. He's in high school. And, you know, this most recent time when I went back to Columbus to visit, really bonded with him. So I was, you know, asking, when are you guys going to come out? Like, bring Tanner out here. In some ways, I feel like I've put them through a lot, but they're good sports about it. You know, with I think they really worried.
Sure. About of course, every parent would worry. Of course they would.
And, you know, they had seen me. I mean, even since I was in sixth grade, I was buying gum wholesale at BJ's wholesale and then selling it at school for like the 25-cent price and like more than doubling my money.
So they knew you were going to be this guy.
Yeah, and you know, then I would like, I was doing drop shipping on eBay while I was in high school, and I was doing most of that from my phone. And, you know, they would see like random stuff coming to the house and just kind of be like, what are you, you know, what are you doing? What are you selling? Just kind of like they'd seen, they weren't, I don't think they were sure if it was just another one of my side projects that would make me money short term, or if this was something that could actually be lead to a long term sustainable income.
Well, now they're looking at it 5 years later. What's the reaction?
I think they're pretty proud, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, as a dad, I could see it because it's like you accomplish something. I mean, it's one thing to start something. It's one thing to be reasonably successful at it. But to accomplish it, you know, 5 years in anything is an accomplishment. And so I think that that's the thing that they saw you follow through and continue to follow through. And now, as a matter of fact, expand it because now you're doing all these other things. So what's next for Andy Do?
Well, I've been growing and building my audience and like email list through Periscope actually lately, and that's been a really cool way to expand just being able to teach people Amazon, teach people how to build an audience, because I do really like the kind of information marketing side of things, and so
sure.
That's been a really cool platform to teach something that, you know, I love, and it works out. I can do that pretty easily while, you know, staying settled in Chiang Mai.
So now you're 5 years on the other end of this, and I want to ask you this. This is a real serious question. Has this become a job for you yet?
No, really. It's you know, maybe sometimes it feels like a job, but
okay.
Other times it, you know, I feel like I've continued to grow in finding how to have fun while making money. So that you can't always 100% of the time have fun while making money, but when you have something as flexible as this, it's hard not to have fun with it.
Yeah, you know, again, I'll sit back and I'll say this, is I really believe that there's a generational change afoot, and you guys value your time more than money, generationally, right? We, as older people, right? I'm relative, but we, you know, we think differently. We were trained differently. And so to not value it, money as much as you value your time, your freedom, kind of the life that you want, man, I just think that you figured it out. And I think, quite frankly, is there's a huge generation right behind you who is coming exactly the same way you are. They're going to do what they want to do on their terms, and I think that's pretty cool. I think that's really the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm you know, I'm honestly really excited about the generation below me, even just looking at, you know, if the cutoff, you know, I'm almost a textbook millennial, and my little brother is pretty much a textbook right at the beginning of the generation below me. And I see a lot more receptivity, because when I was, when I was 16, I was getting scammed online, you know, and okay. Now mm-hmm. A lot more integrity has come to the scene. There's people that are out there. You almost have to provide solid value now. And I think it's making money online and having your own business and being able to run it from anywhere is becoming much more of a credible type of thing to do.
I think so. And again, you're on the leading edge of it. You really have been. And it's really neat to see that you're staying ahead of it. It's kind of like a wave behind you and you're out on the board, right out in the front of it. All right. So what's your biggest strength, do you think? What really makes you stand out? What do you have?
I would say the ability to see the big picture and to go after that and to do things that will make the big picture happen. I can definitely – it also plays into what, you know, my biggest weakness is, which is sometimes the big picture will produce a lot of good results, but the minor details that go along with it are hard to keep up with. So
yeah, sure.
I'm a bit of a scatterbrain person and don't always have the best memory. So if I'm really focused on something, I can, you know, I can get through it and I can make it happen. But sometimes the smaller details, like the boxing and shipping aspect of Amazon is like my least favorite. because it just felt tedious to me. And it felt like I'm not doing something that is like pushing me toward my ultimate vision.
Well, there's no value in it. It's either boxed right or it's not. I mean, there you go. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong. There's no, wow, that's really creative. I mean, there's not. It's right or it's wrong. Tell me what a typical day is for you.
Oh, a typical day? I've been, well, it's changed a bit. And I mentioned Periscope, what I've been using. So usually I'll get up in the morning, start a broadcast on Periscope, start talking with people. Business usually comes up eventually. I'll go get myself an iced Americano, you know, because the coffee in Chiang Mai is actually amazing and very affordable. You know, then I'll come back, I'll get a little bit of work done at the house, or I'll go to or I'll stay at a coffee shop and get some work done. And usually, I don't know, I usually don't spend more than a couple hours at a time on any of my work. And I'll kind of just, you know, maybe beforehand sit down and write down the three top priorities that I have to get done for that day. And then I'll just make sure that, you know, before it's 8 o'clock and I'm thinking about cracking open a beer, that all my work is done. and I've got a really cool community of people here. I actually convinced two of my best friends to move here at the same time as me. And then we just convinced two of our other best friends to move out here. So,
and they're still all there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Five of us that are here, and, you know, just met a lot of cool people in this city and a lot of people with very similar priorities. You know, not everybody's doing the exact same thing, but everybody kind of has this goal of, yeah, we want freedom of our time, and we also want to be successful in what we're doing.
Right. I think that's just a great way to end it. Man, I appreciate you taking the time. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch with me, you could always go to my blog, andydew.com. I am on Periscope, so periscope.tv/andydew. Yeah.
And I'll have links to all that stuff, so that's
okay,
not a problem.
Great.
And then I have links to your course, Doable. It says 30-day money-back guarantee. You stand behind that?
Yeah, I do. I'm currently updating the content right now, so the price is discounted to $99. But you know, I'm guessing in the next month or so, I'm gonna have that course totally updated because I want to keep the content fresh. But you know,
and so if somebody does join at the 99, they'll get the fresh content when it comes out.
Yeah, all the fresh content when it's.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, there's your opportunity, people. Take advantage of it while it's cheap. Dude, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's morning there. I love what you're doing because you're doing what you're doing on the terms that you want. And I just think that more people need to accept that. And I think this is a great opportunity. Not everybody needs to go to college. I don't believe that. And here, you know, I have a master's degree. And so I'm still saying that not everybody should. Life needs people. And good people are hard to come by. College doesn't teach that. And so I just really appreciate that. I love the fact that you're focused on your business, what you need to get done. I love the priority setting. I think those are all valuable skills. I really appreciate it. I wish you nothing but a great year in 2016.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you know, being on your podcast.
All right. Well, man, I appreciate it. Hey, take care. Have a good night.
You too.
Good morning.
Take care.
I hope you enjoyed this one as much as I did, again, because it's just another frame of reference. I call them perspective interviews. There's another way that you could live a life well-lived, and I think he's a great example of it. His course is going to teach you how to really be hands-off. I mean, he's in Thailand, and so he is not touching any product. And so what's so cool is that that's the style, the approach he takes for his course. He is teaching you 100%. You are not going to touch the product. And I think that will be attractive to certain people. So I have a link on the website. Check it out. Great guy, and I think you might really benefit from it. I hope you enjoy what you're hearing. Check us out, ecommercemomentum.com. Lots of cool stuff there. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.